kulanu ke'echad. All of us as one. Okay. All right. Thank you, everyone. Please be seated. All right. So it gives me a great privilege today to talk to you about where we're at and where God has us as one people, as a group together, standing before the Lord at the threshold of the building of the Caulfield Messianic Center. And so I'm very excited, and I've been really looking forward to the launch of our third stage funding campaign, which we did this week. So perhaps in your mail you might have received a newsletter. Who received the newsletter this week? Okay, if you didn't receive it, you're probably not on our mailing list. So please try and give us your details so we can send you these kind of things. We're also sending it out via email as well. And I had the opportunity last week to present this also to a whole lot of wonderful believers in Korea. So I had the chance to visit Korea last week. I flew out on Sunday night. I was there from Monday till Friday. I was going to be staying longer and speaking at another couple of venues, a couple of churches over the weekend, but a typhoon came looming down on South Korea, and also I wanted to be back to make sure I was back when Abigail went into labor. So I got back a little earlier than was originally planned, but it was perfect timing for my return. But back in Korea, I had some great opportunity to share about the work of Celebrate Messiah and the work of Beit HaMashiach here as well. And you know that they are amazing prayers in Korea. They're probably known as the most committed and devoted prayer warriors. And so it was a joy to be able to tell them about what we're doing. And they're going to be praying for us. And a couple of the events were held. So we did a conference. I was together with Dr. Mitch Glazer, the president of Chosen People Ministries. It was really something that he had organized together with our... We have actually a ministry in Korea. Chosen People Ministries has a branch in Korea, and they prepared this conference. And I kind of was supplementing Mitch in his talks. And so the one event was at this church. I want to show you this picture of the church. That is a church. I had to take a photo of it with a pano photo because it is absolutely massive. I think this is the second largest church in Korea, 70,000 people, and this whole building is a church, and it's absolutely huge. I mean, they had a chapel. The actual main venue seats 7,000 people. So the Caulfield Messianic Center could fit into that building about 100 times, perhaps. Their chapel was for about 3,000 or 4,000 people. And then, the main auditorium was massive. And, they're very devoted and they're very passionate about the gospel. And so we are hoping to really motivate Korean Christians in their love for Israel and the Jewish people and their desire to see the gospel shared around the world. So let's hope and pray that more and more good fruit will come out of this visit. So I just thought I'd show you I thought of saying this is the Seoul Messianic Center, but not quite. It's Sarong Church, I think it's called. Massive place. And so... We are really at a really exciting place. If you go back to my presentation, as we step out with raising the funds that we need for the next stage of this Caulfield Messianic Center, and I want to share this morning, I want to devote my time to talking about this and really launching this next period of time. It'll be about 6 weeks until we come up to a special night that we are going to be hosting, and we'll tell you about that as well. And so let me remind us, and not everyone was here when we started this whole process of wanting to build the Caulfield Messianic Center. Next slide. To remind you, it was back about 8 years ago that we started on a series of studies through Nehemiah. And of course, what an amazing book Nehemiah was and is, and certainly the practicalities of both faith and action that was kind of put together in that book of Nehemiah, where Nehemiah was such a man of faith and prayer, but also a man of action to come back from the diaspora to the land of Israel to build the walls of Jerusalem, because Jerusalem had lay in ruins. Of course, the temple had been rebuilt, but the walls of the city were demolished, and no city can really exist, certainly in the ancient world, without a wall. And so he was moved by God and given great compassion and prayer and action, that he came back with the favor of the king of Persia to rebuild the walls of the city of Jerusalem. And it's exciting. When we first studied that book, I felt very motivated and excited. And we studied it again last year. And again, looking at it from the perspective of where we are at, it certainly was a great encouragement to me, and I believe to all of us, as we went through this book of Nehemiah, to see what can be done when faith and action come together. When you have faith to believe something and have a vision to believe something, and you have the unction from God, the kind of motivation from the Lord, then anything can be done. You know, even building that church in Korea like that. I mean, that's unbelievable. So certainly I was encouraged. And when we think of where we were at with the Beit HaMashiach building, let me tell you a little bit more about the history of that. Of course, when Celebrate Messiah started in 1995, we started on the 3rd of February. So next year, in February, will be our 25th anniversary of starting Celebrate Messiah. And as we started Celebrate Messiah, we also started a regular Friday night fellowship, which was just simply called at that point the Celebrate Messiah Shabbat service or Shabbat fellowship. And that was in Hawthorne West. And in those days, we used the premises of Hawthorne West Baptist Church. And then our offices were also at that church too. And that's how we began the work in the first few years. And then after 4 years, in 1998, after 3 years, we moved our services from Hawthorne down to Bamber Road. And at Bamber Road, of course, there was the old Bamber Road Church of Christ. Now, that building was certainly in its day a very impressive building. The Bamber Road Church of Christ congregation itself was one of the largest communities in Australia, certainly in the Churches of Christ in its day. And so it was a very vibrant community, but of course, by the time we joined there and started to use the premises in 1998, their congregation had dwindled and was mostly elderly people. And then finally, sometime around maybe it was 2010 or somewhere around there, we were given the full use of that building. And the kind of old guard of that church handballed that building over to us. Now, Beit HaMashiach, as a congregation, is affiliated with the Churches of Christ in Victoria and Tasmania. That's why, of course, we were able to continue the witness of the, if you like, the Churches of Christ in that area. But we were, of course, a little different kind of expression than the average church. We are a Messianic community. And I've always been so blessed and so encouraged by the way that the leadership of the Churches of Christ have always supported us in our endeavors and in our mission, not telling us how to do things, not telling us how to present ourselves, but allowing us to develop our own ministry amongst Jewish people in the Crawford area and being fully supportive of that. And so in a moment, I'm going to be introducing a very special friend and also someone who is officially involved with the Churches of Christ in Victoria and Tasmania. And his name is Joel Plotnick. And so, Joel, would you put up your hand? I'm going to introduce you in a minute. So everyone, welcome Joel. Joel is Phil Plotnick's brother. And you're certainly going to see that, I reckon. As soon as you see him, you'll think of Phil as well. And Joel is here today in his role as the Managing Director of the Church of Christ Financial Services. And he's going to share a little bit about that and how they are ready to support us in our project. And so back then, we took over the use of that building, but we knew it was in bad disrepair back in already 1998. So already by 2010, when we had full use of it, we really knew we needed to do something with it. And that's how we got going with this idea of building the Caulfield Messianic Center. And so it is a joy to have that building in the middle of the Melbourne Eruv, the Melbourne Jewish community, strategically placed. There were a lot of ideas of maybe we could sell that building and go move out to the suburbs or go to another suburb, but we knew we were strategically placed in the heart of the Jewish community with a facility that is a church and a place of worship, and we didn't want to move from where we are. And so we decided not to sell that building, but to redevelop it. So we launched that back in around 2010, 2011. Is that about right? Somewhere around there, 2012. Yeah, it's about 7 or 8 years ago. And this is the verse that really was a great encouragement to me. This is Nehemiah speaking. Then I said to them, "You see the trouble we are in and how Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burnt? Come, let us build the walls of Jerusalem that we may no longer suffer derision." And I told them of the hand of God that had been upon me for good and also for the words that the king had spoken to me. And they said, all the people in Jerusalem said, "Let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hands for the good work. And so, of course, as you read the rest of Nehemiah, it took 52 days only. 52 days to build those walls. It was in ruins for decades. People did nothing about it for decades. It took one man, Nehemiah, to come and say, "Come on, let's get this done. We can do this." God had given him favor, and he also was able to motivate the people to get the job done. Everyone was involved in building the wall, and they built the wall in front of their homes. So they were invested in making, they knew that if they built the wall, they would be better protected as well. So everyone got involved, built that wall, and it was dedicated to God 52 days after Nehemiah had started it. And so where are we at right now with the Caulfield Messianic Center? I think, have you seen some pictures? Did you show them last week? Well, let's look. I'm not sure if you've seen some of these pictures. It was handed over to the builder 2 or 3 weeks ago now. And completely cordoned off. Did you see this picture yet? Last week? Now, don't go too fast. Let's just go slowly. It's quite hard at times to know what we're looking at because the building that we know is most of it is going. It's been taken down. So they've brought in this huge bulldozer and machine of some kind. Started to pull down the old building. The old building was built in one day or at least one weekend in 1921. The community got together and put it up. We'll see a part of it that we've never seen before in one of the other pictures. Keep on going. All right. Where's that? It's hard to see, isn't it? That's the back. That's the back all demolished. That's the back wall over there. All right, that's looking inside the sanctuary, looking back to where the foyer used to be. So I said to the builder, hang on, can we change our minds? He said, not at all. All right, so there you go. So the back wall, so that's all been demolished. So that's the front. You can see the floor has been taken out. And now look at that picture there. That's particularly interesting. If you have a look at that one there, you can see the old church building there. Can you see the old building? It was not exposed because it was covered by the new building, or the relatively new building. That's the original building that they put up in one weekend. The wooden part of the structure. That's the part that was literally falling down, literally all totally, lopsided. So, that's the outside of it. So I really like that. Right, looking at that. All right, so that's inside of the sanctuary. The floor been pulled out. Everything's going to be leveled throughout the entire property, all on the same level. So no more strange levels, up ramps and down ramps and through this door to go through another door, etc. It's all going to be changed. Okay, keep on going. That's it. So just some pictures to update you. This is what the Caulfield Messianic Center is going to look like from the outside. Of course, you've probably seen some of these pictures over the years, but we've put it together in a poster like that. So we're excited about how we are actually combining the new and the old. You know that originally I really wanted it all destroyed and rebuilt. And you may remember the original design that we had was quite a grand design. That design was going to cost $4.1 million. And, it was a high target to try and reach. But nevertheless, there's a lot to be said about using the old and the new. I think it gives some respect and honors the faith of those who had gone before us and had built that Caulfield, the Bamborough Church of Christ. And we certainly have a plan that will incorporate the old and the new together. So that's something that's very exciting. It's happening. We can't go back. All right, there's no changing our minds on this one. All right, so here we got the plans. Of course, the ground floor plans. Okay, let me see. Not sure if this is going to work. Oh, it's going to work. Can you see that? All right, so I want to make sure that you understand what's happening here. This is the original front part of the building, the original auditorium. We're adding a whole new entrance to it. And you're going to walk in this section here. And there's going to be a little ramp going up here and also some stairs. And this will be like a reception area, but it'll also be a wonderful place for art to be hung on the walls. And so we can kind of get going with our original idea of the gallery, which will be a wonderful place where we can interact with the community with art and creative means. There's a little reception area here. You go through. This is one of the doors into this new sanctuary. The cry room will still be in a similar position, but there'll also be an audio room. You walk through into the foyer area here and into the whole big dining room area, kitchen with a servery over there. There's going to be toilets. There's the men's now. I'm really going to miss that dunny. My goodness, I love that dunny. I wanted to keep it. It's definitely gone now. But I love that dunny. It was a bit drafty in the winter and a bit dangerous with redback spiders in the summer. But I loved it, but it's going to be there now. And then look at the woman. You've got a whole lot of extra space there. Look at how big that is for the woman. And, anyhow, that's no more queuing up in the toilets. Isn't that going to be great? This is the kitchen area. And walking through, into the dining room. This is an opening from the auditorium. We'll have this opening here with operable walls. We can move the walls back so that there could be an overflow, but don't tell the council. The overflow of seating will be here where people can still sit here and see what's going on in the service. So this whole auditorium should it's licensed for 250 people. We should still be able to fit 250 in there, but we can have an overflow if needed. This is the children's ministry area with operable walls too. Children's ministry, two sections to it. And we could also take move those walls apart and have this entire dining room back area for special functions, like our own celebrations of our Passover dinners and our feasts of trumpets and tabernacles and all sorts of things. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful area. Going to be a nice Jerusalem stone wall there, God willing, if Mark can source Jerusalem stone in Victoria. Otherwise, we have to import it. And that's basically downstairs. Next slide is our second story, which is basically above where the dining room is. And there'll be stairs coming up, and also a lift, a reception area, an area for staff and for youth and meetings here, counseling room, the rabbi's office, or at least one of them. I'm not sure which one I'm going to take yet and which one Mark's going to get and everybody else. There's also another, what's called a vestry, be another office here, assistant's desk. This is like a little conference room. Be very handy for small group meetings and for a lot of conference-style meetings, short, smaller meetings. So that's the upstairs, and that's going to be housing the offices of Celebrate Messiah and Beit HaMashiach together. And so let's go to the vision for the Caulfield Messianic Center. So let me just remind you of the actual vision. Our vision is to build a multi-purpose facility that will enable the ministries of Celebrate Messiah and Beit HaMashiach to fulfill their mission of bringing the message to the original messenger. So it's a combined project, of course, and we hope to be able to fulfill our calling and our vision as our ministries. One is the mission organization, one is the local congregation. And looking at the purpose of the Caulfield Messianic Center, to create a multi-purpose facility that will enable the ministries. Oh, hang on, next one, sorry. Yep, click on the first point. Click. To create a purpose-built facility that will be a worship center, a community center, a training college, providing a place of outreach, education, hospitality for training local, national, and international missionaries or missions amongst Jewish people. Our second most important purpose, to provide a place of identity and refuge, giving validity and dignity to the Messianic community and leaving a legacy for future generations. You know, people have been driving past that building for years, noticing how it's become more and more dilapidated. Whatever we like, we know a lot of life has been going on inside those walls all these 20 years. A lot of life, a lot of ministry, a lot of people have come to faith, a lot of people have grown in their faith. It's been a wonderful place. But from the outside, it looked terrible. So imagine what people thought about our community from the outside, not knowing what the real walls, the real bricks of the building looks like. That's us, the spiritual bricks. So from the outside, it was just a broken down old church building. And this new center will give us much more of a presence in the community. It'll give us a much more of an opportunity to express who we really are. Buildings don't create revival. Buildings don't create anything dynamic, spiritual dynamics. We do. But we do need the right facilities in order to exist. And so it's going to be really a wonderful place. People are asking, what's going on there? This week, when I played bowls with my predominantly Jewish bowls club, everyone was asking me, what's going on at the building? What are you doing? What's happening with your shul? And so had great opportunity this Wednesday to tell them all about how things are developing with the Caulfield Messianic Center and that our shul is being built once again. So it's going to open people's eyes and provoke interest. People are curious. And there's no more curious people than our Jewish people. Very inquisitive. They want to know what's going on. We're going to get a lot of opportunity just by having a new building there. And it is also something that as we get older, as I get older, you start realizing that the work that you're doing is not just for yourself. You're going to leave something for the next generation. And they need a place of identity that we never really had. And maybe we'll get ourselves a number of years out of it until we, if the Lord tarries and we go home to be with the Lord. But the second generation will have a wonderful facility and we need to be thinking about them. Okay, and also to make a visible public declaration in the heart of the Jewish community that Yeshua is Israel's Messiah and Savior of Jew and Gentile alike. That's really a beacon for the Messiah, a light for the Messiah in the most strategically located Jewish community in Australia. So, you know, I don't know what the Lord has and how he's going to use the Caulfield Messianic Center to affect the Jewish community here. But I believe that the Lord's going to be raising up an army of believers and an army of workers and an army of missionaries from this local Jewish community to go out to the rest of Australia and around the world with the good news of the gospel and, of course, back to the land of Israel. Everyone knows how influential the Caulfield or the Melbourne Jewish community is, even in Israel. And so we need to be touching this community for the Lord and making a difference as we move forward. So next slide. Just to articulate what the facilities will be, the Caulfield Missing Center will feature a 250-seat auditorium, a multifunction auditorium. The good news, of course, is that the floor will be level. Before the floor, well, originally had a slant, and then it had a slant and you know, all sorts of other angles to it as well. But it'll be a flat floor that can be used for a lot of different things. We can move all the chairs away and use it for things like dancing, for conferences, for meals, all sorts of things. There will be breakout rooms for children's ministry. Upstairs will house the offices of Celebrate Messiah and Beit HaMashiach, including a conference room and youth lounge area, as I've said before. Okay, the Caulfield Messianic Center will also provide for the first Messianic Bible School and Outreach Training Program in the Southern Hemisphere. So our heart is also not just a congregational building. This is a place that's going to be used for training those of us who want to know more about the Jewish roots of our faith. So that might be for the general public. People are certainly interested. The general Christian public are interested in knowing more about the Jewish roots. This, we hope to provide some special classes and courses for them. But even more important, we really want to be using it to train up the next generation of leaders in the Messianic movement in Australia and worldwide. And so we hope that by the time the Caulfield Center will be built, that we'll have a structure in place for a training college as well. Also, not only a first Messianic Bible School, but it'll be the first purpose-built Messianic synagogue in the Southern Hemisphere. So it's really historic and really something that God has given us the opportunity to pioneer. I love the opportunity to pioneer. There's so many things that we've done as a ministry of Celebrate Messiah and Beit HaMashiach that has never been done before. You know that even this congregation, there have been other Messianic congregations in the past. They've come and they've gone. This congregation now is heading to 25 years old next year. By God's grace, we're still here. It's never been done before in Australia. So many things that we've done has never been done before, and so it's incredible privilege that God's given us. Of course, it's going to be youth and children's programs, and it can be done during the week as well. And Hebrew classes will continue, etc., and a Messianic Resource Center. People could come and not only be educated, but also be resources there for speaking into and educating the Messianic movement in Australia. All right, so counting the cost. By the way, have you all got those newsletters that were on your chairs? Everyone should have one of those. Counting the cost. Yeshua taught us to count the cost. And we have been counting the cost for 7 or 8 years now. But we we felt that we had to move forward. We had raised a certain amount of money, and we hadn't raised it all, but we felt, and this is the boards of Seder Bet Messiah and Beit HaMashiach, felt it was time to step out in faith. Knowing that we don't have all the money to finish the project, but that God was encouraging us to step out and start it. So, we have been considering this very carefully and quite conservatively. Next point. So the Caulfield Messianic Center project will cost $3.1 million. And we hope that it'll come in at that price, because we've already included contingencies, we've already included professional fees and any other unforeseen expenses, although things could blow out a little bit more, and we hope not. We certainly will know within the next few weeks, especially as some of the first stages are being completed. We've already found out that the back wall of the sanctuary, the one, you know, it's been demolished behind that wall, but that back wall is not as stable as they hoped it would be. So there's going to be some extra costs there. But I think we'll still come in at $3.1 million. We've raised $2.2 million, and now we're seeking the Lord's provision for the remaining $900,000 to complete the third stage. We need to know whether we're going to have this money before the end of this year, because we need to tell the builder to prepare to move right in from the second stage to the third stage. So he needs to know before the end of this year. So we're at quite a strategic place, aren't we? Sense of urgency. Do you start feeling a sense of urgency? I certainly do. I wake up at 4 or 5 in the morning, start thinking about it, and knowing that that we don't have much more time left, 10 months or until this project will be completed, only a few more months to the end of the year. So let's just think about this. $900,000. It sounds like a lot of money, but it's actually not that much, really. If 900 people gave $1,000, which is quite affordable, I know it's not easy for some people to think of $1,000, and it'll be very, very difficult for them, but it's reasonably affordable. $1,000, if we can find 900 people to give $1,000, we would have the funds we need for our third stage. So this is what I'm committing to pray and asking this community to pray for. There's a number of ways in which we can actually raise up the support, and I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But I'm first going to invite Joel Plotnick to come and to share with us. It's been wonderful to have Joel's support right from the start of this project, back 7, 8 years, whenever it was, Joel, when we started talking about this. He was right behind us, of course, being a Messianic Jew himself. Joel's father started work here. Joseph Plotnick, your father, started work here in the 1950s and 1960s until he passed away. He had started a Messianic congregation. He was doing outreach amongst Jewish people. An English Jew who came to faith here in Melbourne, and God really did a great thing in his life, and a miraculous healing, and he started being an evangelist. So Joel comes from that legacy himself. And so Joel, would you come up and share with us how a word from the Church of the Christ Financial Services and how you're supporting our project? Yes, you are?
We are, yes. Thanks, Lawrence. Thank you. Shabbat Shalom. I just love that, you know, I'm actually not Church of Christ myself. I work for Churches of Christ. I go to a different church. But there's no other Church of Christ that you can go into that you get welcome Shabbat Shalom in the morning. And that was fantastic. And I got that, I think, half a dozen times before I sat down. So it's just amazing and a real blessing. Lawrence is right. I know you said 8 years, but I remember I've been in various roles within Churches of Christ actually over 20 years, but I came into part of the executive staff in an executive position, trying to think, it'd be almost 15 years ago, and it was probably around that time, probably about 13 years ago, that I started. I mean, I can't keep track how long I've known Lawrence through family connections and everything, but I started, came to the church and walked around. It's a bit like the house that Jack built, you know, you'd sort of go up different levels and I'd be thinking, oh my goodness, I start seeing all the risk, potential risk and all sorts of things. I'm saying, Lawrence and Phil, when he was around, you've really got to do something about the building. What are we going to do? So we were having these discussions going way back, even before that. And I've been involved in a lot of church development in my roles. So I not only am I managing director for Churches of Christ Financial Services, but I look after the property. I've got a couple of hats that I wear. So the property trust for Churches of Christ in Victoria and also for Tasmania and other areas. So we've seen a lot of church development. I've got to say that you know, you hear these stories. You saw the picture just before about a church built. You actually hear the words built in one day. I always say weekend because it's hard to get your head around getting a church built in one day. But I was at a service a couple of months ago, Ringwood, with a celebrating Ringwood Church of Christ, celebrating their, I think it was 100 or 150 years, I've forgotten. And that was another church that had been built in one day. And there's half a dozen or so around Melbourne of these churches, some of them, a lot of them still standing. I think Carnegie's another one from memory, have been built in one day. It's just amazing. But, you know, you come forward three or four generations and, of course, you can't build a church in one day anymore, unfortunately, for a whole bunch of reasons. Municipal councils are one of them. So, you know, it takes longer. And it's also, it costs a lot more money, which is part of the faith journey. So, and always, you know, we talk about this, but be thankful, Lawrence. I'm working my way through Chronicles at the moment, and, you know, David, he wanted to build the temple for God, and of course he had a wait. He couldn't do it himself, he had a wait. Solomon, his son, was tasked with doing that. So be thankful it hasn't taken that long. So look, I'm not here to speak for too long. I'm really here to encourage you. We really hope that you don't have to use our financial services, and we're believing and praying that the funds will be raised, and I know that you're going to raise the lion's share of that sooner or later, one way or the other. But you do need, if you like, a plan B or a safety net to ensure that the building works don't get held up and that we can facilitate this great project. So that's where Churches of Christ Financial Services are here to assist, and effectively we will do that providing bridging finance, but we'll have to formalise the loan application, which we're going through the process of doing now, so that we can give assurance to the builder that one way or the other the money will be there so they can go ahead and complete. I think it's about June, is that correct, is the target? So we're working towards getting that loan application approved. It's a process we go through, but part of our role is to finance these sort of projects for churches. That's why we're here. Banks are a little bit more reluctant to get behind it. If you've got plenty of money and plenty of collateral and lots of money coming through the door, they're happy to loan you money, but that's not always the case in church life. So we specialise in this sort of thing, and each church project is very different, and this one is particularly very different. So that's what we're here for. And one of the things I want to mention to you is a particular type of way that you can support Beit HaMashiach in raising funds. So hopefully that between both this congregation and other supporters of the work, money will come in. But there may be some of you, not just here, but throughout your other networks, Lawrence, that have money that they can't necessarily give, but they have available to invest. And if you're in that position, we have an account. It's called a Church Builder Interest Offset Account, and that's a bit of a mouthful. You know, maybe we can rebadge this to a House of Messiah, a Beit HaMashiach Interest Offset Account. So the idea is that if you have money that might be in a personal superannuation fund, it might be money that you've got invested in a term or whatever, and you can afford to do without the interest for a period of time, you can invest that in one of our accounts, which will be in your name, it'll be under your control. You will have to lock it up for 31 days, but you can draw out from it as you need to. But as long as you're able to keep that money invested in that account, the interest will offset against the loan for this project. So it's another way, apart from actually giving money, it's another way that you can support the project. So those of you who think that's a way that you could support it, you will be able to do that. And because we are both providing finance, running effectively banking type services, we're not allowed to say that. We're a charitable fund set up for the purpose of church mission, but we effectively run a banking platform, and we've been doing this for generations. So if you want to know more about that, you can go onto our website. So it's CCFS Australia. The way to remember CCFS, it's Churches of Christ Financial Services. You can go onto the website. There's information about it there. You can talk to Lawrence. I'll leave information with Lawrence as well. So it's a great way to support. So look, I just want to finish by saying that I have been a supporter of what you're doing here for all the reasons that Lawrence mentioned, with my own background, with the involvement of Phil, my brother here, over the years, and the Church of Christ history in supporting this Messianic congregation. We really want to bless you and support you in any way we can. And I'll certainly be praying that this project gets up with as little as possible of loan financing. God bless you.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Joel. Thank you so much, Joel. It's really lovely to have you here. And you're welcome to come every Shabbat. Yep. Signage? No, not yet. We haven't thought about that. But you can talk to me about your thoughts afterwards. All right, so let me just wrap this up. You've received those newsletters. Can everyone wave their newsletter at me, please? Everyone have a newsletter? I know there's one here that has been made into an aeroplane already by someone, the kids, no doubt. But if you open up that newsletter, and you'll see that there is a part of the newsletter that is really a response piece. At top there it says, the Caulfield Missionary Centre Building Project, the Centurion Legacy Challenge. I know that we need to finish off our service, so I'm very aware of that. But I want to encourage you now to think about what God will have you do for the Caulfield Missionary Centre. Many of you have already given. Thank you very, very much. You may want to be considering now in this stage what you can do. There's different ways that people can give. You can obviously, as you heard, just give money. And if you have that money to give, you can do that. Or you could also pledge. That is, you may be praying about this and asking God, what would he have you pledge? And this is, for the next 6 weeks, this is what we want you to be praying about. I'm going to remind you to pray about this the next 6 weeks. It's between you and God. We've never put pressure on people all these years, and we're still not going to put pressure on people. We know some people can't give, but we are in this together. Kulanu ke'echad, all of us as one. And so you may want to be able to give. You may want to pledge what you can give by a certain time. Or as Joel said, there's an opportunity that perhaps if you have money that you want to give to this project as an interest-free loan, and Joel explained the process. That will help offset the expenses of possibly having a loan from the Church of Christ, because we are setting up a facility with them that of $600,000 loan from the Church of Christ if we don't raise all that money by the time this building starts, or the third stage needs to start. And so any interest-free loans would offset the costs of that, and it would be a very helpful way to support this project, especially because the banks aren't giving you very good interest right now, are they? For large amounts of money even, it's only about 2.5% or something like that, 3.1%? Less even now. So, yeah, it might be a good way if people have money that you're not giving us, but you're lending to us interest-free, but not directly to us. It'll be to the Properties Corp or the financial services. And we're going to have a special dinner night, a Beit HaMashiach pledge night, on the 19th of October. So can you all diarize that? Next week we'll give you little handouts, little invite cards to this. It'll be at dinner. There'll be a presentation and testimonies that night. And then that night, we want to collate all the gifts and we want to collate all the pledges by that time. So if you have this next 6 weeks, I suppose it's about 6 weeks, for you to think about this and pray about it. Then on that night, you'll come prepared to make your pledge, make your offering, or whatever other way that you feel you can be involved. Now, we have limited seating at this place. It's the Armadale Bowls Club, so it's my bowls club. They very kindly gave us the use of the facility for that night. They're not charging us. They're not charging us for cleaning. They're not charging us for the use of their facilities there at all. They want to help us. This is lovely that they're wanting to get behind us. And it's through a friendship that we've made with one of the couples there that run the catering facility there. And we'll have the dinner that is going to be donated as well. It's going to be Sri Lankan hoppers for the night from Rasanga here and these wonderful hopper meals that he does. Plus, we'll be really looking. And I have a prayer and a goal that I'm praying to the Lord for, that we can raise 300,000 through the congregation. This is the kind of goal that I'm setting and the challenge that I'm setting for us. 300,000 for this congregation. Now, let me just break that down. If 100 people gave $100, we'll have $100,000, right? If 100 people found two other people who were willing to give $1,000, and, you know, let's face it, it's not a huge amount of money in today's terms. If you could find two other people who will give $1,000 each to this project, people who believe in the work we're doing, people who love Israel and the Jewish people, if you could go find two other people, so if each person here, there's more than 100 people here, if 100 people got two friends who will also give $1,000, $3,000 per little team, times 100, will be $300,000. I've worked that out right, haven't I? I thought about that quite carefully. No, so it's not undoable. Some people can give a lot more than that. But if 300 people gave $1,000, we'll get there. For this stage, from the congregation, we still need to raise the rest of the 600,000 through the wider ministry of Celebrate Messiah. And we really would like to go into this project and finish this project without a loan. We would really not like a loan. Thanks, Joel, for the offer. But we prefer not to have it if we could avoid it. But it's there if we do need it. So think about that in these next few weeks, and we'll perhaps talk about this. Any more information? There is this newsletter on our website, celebratemessiah.com.au. You can use this to tell other people about the project. And also, there will be a video there soon. We have a video which we'll finish off with right now. It's only 3 minutes and 20 seconds. And this video we've done on this project. It's not exactly where I want it to go public yet, so the congregation gets to see it first today. So let me finish off with this video. Thank you for your patience today. Oh, do we have sound? Louise and I were childhood sweethearts, and we both came to faith back in 1984, and I come from a Jewish background. We started Celebrate Messiah back in 1995, and we started it as a mission organization dedicated to sharing the gospel with Jewish people. We have a work in New Zealand, far east of Russia, Israel, and here, of course, in Australia.
I just sort of assumed that Jesus made Christianity, and, you know, he did away with Judaism, and, you know, all the people who converted to his religion were, you know, they sort of changed sides. That's how I understood it at the time.
I was able to understand it then, that Jesus was my Messiah and then that he died for me. And when I told the minister, you know, a bit of my background, he said, well, my dear, now you've become a Christian, you're not Jewish anymore. And I was that shocked. My mum died, all my family died in the Holocaust. Why wouldn't I be Jewish anymore?
We realized back then that we needed a congregation that was culturally relevant and spiritually sensitive to the needs of Jewish people.
I started coming to the Messianic congregation to understand the Jewish roots of our faith
and to learn to love and support the Jewish people.
It needs to be culturally relevant towards Jewish people. When they come into a Messianic congregation and they see someone take out the Torah scroll from the Ark, it provokes something.
God's plan and promises to the Jews are irrevocable. They will continue.
The congregation of Beit HaMashiach has really grown. We're very grateful for the use of this building over these years, but it's literally falling apart. The Caulfield Messianic Center will be an opportunity to reach out to the local Jewish community, inviting them for all the special occasions. Also establishing the first Messianic Bible College in Australia.
And I believe that God will touch people's hearts to desire to have a share in what God is doing to bring Jews to the knowledge of Jesus.
It's as simple as, I would not be a believer in Jesus without the Messiah.
The Messianic congregation has a great privilege of presenting Jesus to Jews, to his own people. And that's the best place to do that. And I think that's something that the whole church should be thrilled about and pleased about and seek to support and prosper in whatever way we can.
I will bless those who bless you. He wants us to bless his people, his covenant people.
I'm really excited and grateful to everyone who feels the Lord leading them to support this project.
If you love Israel, if you love the God of Israel, if you love the Jewish people, would you help us build our Caulfield Messianic Center here in the heart of the Jewish community as an outreach, as a testimony that Yeshua is the promised Messiah of Israel.
All right, I think we had a problem with the soundtrack, but anyhow, we'll fix that all up. And thank you to all those who starred on that video. And we're still going to work on it a little bit more, but it's something that can be used, and we'll have this available that you can use this as well as a video you can show others. All right, so we have a challenge before us, but others have gone before and have made it happen, as Nehemiah, as others, and we are encouraged by the legacy of that centurion of Luke chapter 7. You know, he's a Gentile believer, but he's left each one of us, whether we are Jews or Gentiles, a great challenge. He was a man of great faith and a great action, and he too got the job done. You notice that in the actual ESV translation, it actually brings it out very clearly. He himself has built us our synagogue. This guy didn't just give money to it. He actually got involved and built that synagogue in Capernaum. An amazing man has left us all a challenge. So let's step up to that challenge. Let's just finish off with our final song. Lord, thank you so much for today. Pray that you bless each one of us as we consider the future and how we can leave a legacy of ourselves, Lord, in the Caulfield Messianic Center for this generation and for the generations that are to come should you tarry. So, Lord, I pray that you bless us as we go forward with this. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. All right, so there's more of these newsletters available at the back. Take as many as you need to hand out to people that you know. Please help us get the word out for this project. Thank you, everyone. Please stand.
We're going to do tefillah.